I think the world should go vegan because, one, I'm vegan and I'm awesome. Two, because why wouldn't you want to take less? Why wouldn't you want to have the world be more compassionate? Three, if you believe in energy and vibes, why would you want to eat meat? Because meat is the last thing it did before it died was scream for its life. So why would you want to put that energy into your body? And four, it's better for the environment. Five, if you're a dude and you're vegan, there's a bunch of vegan chicks. So great pickings for dating.
Welcome, listeners. I'm glad you are here.
Welcome back to the Live Vegan Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Leahy, and this is a podcast featuring inspirational leaders in the animal rights community. We are joined by our co-host and legionnaire of logic, Ben Loa. What's up, Ben?
Hey, Kevin, how's it going?
Doing well, man. I'm pumped. I'm excited.
Pretty awesome day, huh?
Yes, today.
See what I did there? Did you see what I did there?
An awesome day. Okay, that was good. That was good. I didn't catch it at first. We're going to talk about physical fitness. Are you ready? Do you have your jump rope ready?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'm a physical specimen.
Ready to cue the Rocky music? We're going to do this. Okay, it's going to be good. Everyone has heard Ben and I say that eating animals is unnecessary, but just how unnecessary is it? Does veganism give the exact same health benefits, or is it possible to get even better gains on a plant-based diet? Cam F. Awesome is a champion Southpaw boxer with U.S. titles in 2008, 2010, 2013, and 2014. He also won the Golden Gloves in 2009, 2011, and 2013. Honestly, Cam, your list of titles won on Wikipedia takes up the entire screen on my laptop, so I'm not going to read them all. But I will say that Cam F. Awesome is an awesomely appropriate name. You're also a motivational speaker, and you are the self-proclaimed Taylor Swift of boxing, unless somebody made that part up.
No.
That was my first question.
That was actually...
You said that.
I did in an interview in Toronto, actually.
Oh, cool. That's our home.
Yeah, it was in the Pan Am Games.
Well, thank you for joining us, and welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Okay, so you got to elaborate on that now.
Oh.
Why are you the Taylor Swift of boxing?
So I did an interview. I fought in the semifinals of the Pan Am Games, and I lost a fight I thought I should have won. And in the interview, the only way I can control being angry is I just give condescending answers, and I just mumble a bunch of stuff. And somewhere in the interview, I didn't realize it, I referred to myself as, I said, I'm not saying I'm the Taylor Swift of boxing, but I'm not saying I'm the Taylor Swift of boxing.
So it was just random.
Hold on. Refresh my memory. Is that who Kanye West interrupted when she won and he thought someone else should have won? Is that why you made that reference?
No, I actually, at the time, if I was in Walmart and Taylor Swift walked in, I wouldn't know who the hell she was. It was just something that came off the top of my head.
Okay, so no real reason.
but it went viral, and Nick Jonas retweeted it, said I was his hero. Taylor Swift retweeted it. I got to do a bunch of interviews and stuff on ESPN about it.
Just from saying that?
Yeah.
Well,
I thought it was weird. A lot of people just thought I was concussed.
Okay, all right. Okay, enough of the silliness then. So, mid-boxing career, you just suddenly decided to go vegan?
Kind of. I lost a bet and had to do it. And
no way. It all came from a bet.
Yeah.
Really?
I wasn't happy about it. I don't like losing. But
yeah, are you still engaged by the bet? Like, was it a 10-year bet?
No, it was just the Engine 2 28-day challenge.
Okay, 28 days, and then...
Yeah. I felt good, so I just kept it going.
Gotcha.
Really? We've heard a lot of stories about, you know, why you became vegan. I don't think we've heard one that was, I lost a bet and then just kept going.
Yeah, and just for the record, not in a million years would I consider going vegan. And if it wasn't for the bet, I wouldn't have done it. I'm glad I did it in hindsight, But that's why I kind of advocate for people being vegan for whichever reasons they want, because I know a lot of vegans are like, you need to be vegan for the animals. I don't really give a shit why you're vegan. If you're vegan, I'm happy, because I did it for the bet, and then I felt I looked good. So I did it for, I kept it going for vanity, and then I realized the health benefits behind it. But I was vegan for about 5 or 6 years before I ever been to a farm. And I only cared about dogs and cats because those were the only animals I ever really saw. And I didn't care about cows or pigs or chickens because I've never met one. And maybe 5 or 6 years into being vegan, I went to a farm sanctuary in Watkins Glen and got to interact with animals for the first time. And that's when I realized they have like personalities and they're awesome.
They are.
But
is that where you came up with the name?
Oh, God, no.
When no, you did, sorry, did the name and veganism coincide, or which came first?
It came around the same time in 2000. I became vegan in 2012. I changed my name February 16th, 2013.
Okay, so who do we have to thank for this bet?
Was this
an ethical vegan, or was this someone that just thought you would not enjoy being vegan? So
these are health and ethical vegans. Amy Mackey of she works for Engine 2, and in 2012, her husband wanted to box the first time, and he was like 46 or something, and like he came in with like a knee brace on, and I just remember thinking like, oh, this is not gonna be good, because it's like old.
A 46-year-old vegan with a knee brace on wanted to box for the first time. Okay.
But I didn't know what vegan was, but they'd never pushed it on me or anything, and they mentioned it a couple times, and I honestly didn't care at all. Didn't care to know more about it, didn't concern me, but every time he came into the gym, like, he just kept losing weight, and eventually he came in without his knee brace. He ended up losing, like 60 pounds or something, had his first fight, no longer wears his knee brace. And I also still didn't care. So, yeah. And then when I lost the bet.
What was the bet? Or are you not allowed to
Manny
talk
about Pacquiao. No, Manny Pacquiao versus Timothy Bradley. Timothy Bradley was a part-time vegan. Like, for training camps, he would be vegan. So that's kind of where I lost the bet. I bet on Pacquiao. And no one thought Timothy Bradley won that fight. But I'm a man of my word, so I did it. And after a while, like, the food started tasting better around day 24 or 25. And I was like, I'll just do it for a little bit longer. But I had no intentions of, like, being vegan. And I kind of kept it myself because I didn't know any vegans. And I never heard any good things about him. So I was reluctant to try to identify as one because I only heard bad things about vegans. And as I continue to be vegan and I run into vegan people, I was like, oh, these vegans are cool, but it's all the rest of them are bad. And I just kept running into vegans and they all just seem to be cool. And I kind of just realized that it's the worst members of a group that stand out. And of course, there are going to be vegan assholes. They're going to be black asshole, white, Jewish, Muslim. They're all different types of people. But a majority, like, people just think of the bad vegans, but there are so many great ones. Like, judge-free ones who are just cool. But I didn't realize that until I immersed myself into the lifestyle. So what I try to do is I just try to be that person. I try to be inclusive. I try to be judge-free and just kind of welcoming to all, because I think it's a silly idea to try to have a non-inclusive club that we demand everyone be a part of.
That's a good point. So what was the reaction like from your trainers and you know, other boxers from your gym? Do they think you're nuts? Like, you're just going to all of a sudden lose all this muscle mass and not be able to fight?
Most of them didn't know what it was. And I swear to you, a few of them's like, that's not like gay stuff, right? Yeah. But you'd be surprised.
Yeah, so, no, I'm not surprised.
But there's a lot of ignorance towards it and a lot of misinformation. And also what I've come to realize that a lot of people who feel maybe not so much threatened, but because I honestly believe that people who are upset at vegan people for no reason at all feel like vegans are judging them. But that actually is just their own insecurities talking. That's what I believe. Hmm. So, like, if you tell someone you're vegan, they automatically think, like, oh, because you don't hurt animals and I hurt animals, you must think you're better than me. Yeah. And that's their own personal insecurities. And I feel like that's something they need to address. It has nothing to do with me.
Yeah, because, it's their conscience talking.
Yeah. And, you know, everyone knows about how terrible it is, but some people are lazy. Some people much rather be heartless than to make a change in their life. And I do believe that some people honestly believe it's not healthy. But I generally believe some people think it's not healthy, but all the people who say they do it because God intended them to eat meat and it's natural, those are idiots.
Well, it can be unhealthy if you just eat potato chips and ketchup, right? That would be vegan, and then you're not gonna be healthy on that kind of food. So I'm curious about what you eat. Of course, hopefully we'll get into that. But you said before the food started to taste better at around day 24. How did you feel during the transformation? What kind of? I assume your energy levels actually went up. Otherwise, you wouldn't have stuck with the diet because a boxer needs endurance.
At first, no, not really. At first, well, because I came off a really bad diet and was basically going through like almost a detox from just drinking and all that stuff, because the diet also entails sobriety. But after, because it's no... Of course, no meat, no cheese, no dairy, no fish or whatever, but also no processed foods, no added fat, no added sugar, no added salt. So it was just like really bland food and I couldn't stand it. But what I didn't know that it takes 22 days for your taste buds to adjust. And after I went through that terrible, like three weeks, everything started tasting better. And that's when my energy started to come back, and I started to feel really good about it. So I figured I'd just do it for a little bit longer.
So if I just eat mushrooms for 22 days, I'll eventually start to like them?
You're going to be tripping balls, but try it.
I don't know. I can't stand mushrooms, but maybe that's the key.
Mushrooms?
Okay, I got a question for you then. So... you're clearly opposed to violence towards animals. You're an ethical vegan now. So how can someone that's opposed to us causing harm to animals get in a ring and punch somebody in the face?
Oh, because you sign up to get punched in the face. Like if you threw a child in the ring with me, I wouldn't. Well, if a child signed a contract, I would knock the child out. But everyone who gets in the ring, it's an option. It's a sport, just like, you know, football players. Like you can play your buddy in a one-on-one basketball game. I've fought my roommate before. Like it's not fighting in our heads. It's just like
it's a sport.
Yeah, it's just a sport.
Yeah. So it's not necessarily the violence. It comes down to the consent.
Yeah, and it's. Yeah, and it's not what people think it is, and that's why I hate the Rocky movies, because it just gives a negative perception of what boxing really is, and people think, you know, you get hit really hard, you get stronger. That's not how it works. Those are called concussions. Like, Rocky just feeds negative stereotypes into boxers, and it perpetuates all the bad stereotypes that already exist.
See, I thought you were going to say that you liked Rocky because you told us that you love action movies. But, all right.
Rocky wasn't an action movie. It was Rocky not an action wasn't movie. Even a boxing movie. Rocky was a crappy movie. And I say that as someone who hasn't watched a Rocky movie.
You've never seen it?
I refuse to. He's done nothing for the sport. He's made millions off of it, but doesn't give back to the boxing community. I mean, not a big fan of it. How's he in the goddamn boxing Hall of Fame? He hasn't took a real goddamn punch in his life. There are men who died in the ring.
Okay, this isn't a vegan.
Make it into the boxing Hall
this
of Fame.
Isn't a vegan question, but is there a good boxing movie?
Southpaw with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Okay.
Yeah, prepare to cry.
Interesting. I was thinking the Clint Eastwood one. I can't remember the name of it. But
Million Dollar Baby.
That's it. Yeah, I won a Best Picture, I think. I'm glad you asked that question, Ben, because I was going to ask him how he justifies saving animals and killing people's dreams.
Oh, that's much, much better worded. Much better worded.
Well, yeah. Those are his words. In the documentary, the Netflix documentary, he said it first.
I swear, I was like, that sounds like something I would say.
It's totally you, man. I love the Netflix documentary, by the way, for anyone who wants to check it out. You have Netflix. It's called Counterpunch, and it was released in 2017, and it follows Cam Awesome through his boxing career. It's really, really awesome. Really good one. So I learned a lot about you.
Oh, dope. Yeah, it was a cool experience. Very unique.
So what does the F in your name stand for? Is it Frank?
Friendship.
Friendship.
Philip, if you spell it wrong, or you're German.
Have you ever talked to Mike Tyson? Because he's also vegan, and he's a boxer.
No, I haven't. But he has I've been watching his new podcast. It's called Hot Boxing. And he just locks himself and his guests in a studio and smoke weed nonstop and giggle and talk about things. It's really odd.
And they make a show out of that?
Yeah, it's a show. He just bought like 300 acres to make a marijuana dispensary.
Has he had Snoop on?
No, but he had Steve-O on. He just had Steve-O from Jackass on. And he had Roseanne on. It was like, you're watching it, you don't believe it's Mike Tyson. It's kind of odd.
Yeah, sounds like it. Yeah. All right, so what do you say to the people that insist that, meat is manly, and to be fit, to be muscular, to be tough, you need to consume animal products, and it's just, that's what men do.
I don't think men love shoving meat down the throats, but maybe that's not for me to say. I think that there's, of course, there are plenty of wrong ways to be vegan, but if you stay away from processed foods, like there are plenty of vegan bodybuilders that Tori Washington, great dude, ripped. He's a vegan bodybuilder, has never consumed meat his entire life, was born vegan. And he's like living proof that you don't need meat to bulk up. And what I hate is when, you know, meat eaters would point out like unathletic vegans. And I'm like, you can feed that person meat. Like, they'll never become athletic. Like, because I can easily point out fat people that eat meat.
Sure. That's what I was going to say. There's a ton of unathletic meat eaters in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. So I feel like there's a lot of misinformation. And, I've probably emceed about 50 veg fests in the last year and a half. And I get to hear all these speakers talk, and I hear all the research they've done. And I'm not really one that's big on doing research, as I said earlier before we started recording. But what I can speak about is my own personal experience with it and how I felt. So, I mean, even if it didn't make a difference, the one big thing that made a difference for me, becoming vegan, was how limiting it is, fast food and junk food wise. Because I have a negative relationship with food, and if I could stop off at McDonald's to have one meal just this one time, I would do that every day. And since I became vegan, that's not an option.
So, I see. So it steers you in the right direction.
Yep, steers me in the right direction.
So what do you eat? I know you said beforehand, before we started recording, that you're living in a van. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you cook for yourself? Where do you go to eat? I'm sure Happy Cow is an option, but expensive.
Happy Cow. I love Happy Cow. It's like Happy Cow is Tinder of vegan food.
Yeah. For those who don't know, Happy Cow is an app, and it'll show you where all the vegan places are based on your location. Okay. So you can't solely rely on Happy Cow though, right?
No, definitely not. That would become expensive, and not everything vegan is healthy. But I actually, since New Year's, I just kind of been leaning more on the raw side, just out of convenience. So
raw, what? Raw fruit, raw veggies.
Just a raw vegan diet. So I've been probably like 80-85% raw just for the first time, because I didn't want to do dishes and stuff while I travel. So, but I've been doing it since New Year's pretty much. And, of course the first couple days sucked just because of it. I'm not used to it. I like
cooked
so
food.
My favorite feeling in the world is eating so much that I not only hate myself, but I hate everyone around me. That is like where you can eat until you just like can waddle to a place to sleep for a little bit. And then I like to wake up and eat the rest of the food at room temperature. That is better than drugs for me. But of course it's not healthy,
right.
but you don't get that with eating raw. So I'm not hungry, but I also don't hate myself.
Right. You can eat as much as possible and you won't.
Sounds like a good combination.
Yeah.
I'm not hungry and I don't hate myself.
You would think so.
That's like a win-win to me. Okay. Yeah. So what about, let's go back to your boxing. You're in an elite level, world-class level. What about then? Did you have to, you know, were you worried about, you know, I'm sure what people ask you all the time. Were you worried about your protein? Did you have to try and get like extra protein? How did you eat then?
So here's my theory. I think, for one, everyone's looking for some type of shortcut or some excuse why they're fat. People would like to blame it on protein and things of that sort, but no one's ever met anybody with a protein deficiency. The only time I've ever heard of anyone with a protein deficiency was a U.S. journalist who got captured by Somali pirates and was held captive for 6 years. And he didn't even die. So, I don't count anything. Like, people are like, how much grams of protein? I don't count anything. The greatest thing that the Engine 2 diet did for me, because I had to eat so clean that I was able to, for the first time in my life, read my body. So I know when my body needs fats, when it needs carbs, when it needs sugar. Like, I've learned how to read my body. And I've never had an issue with protein. And I don't know why it's a thing.
Because the animal agriculture industry made it a thing.
Yeah, it's a way to sell more.
Yeah, just like in the 90s, everything was fat-free, and then 2000, everything was carb-free. And right now, the fad that they're selling to people is the idea of proteins. So your body can only process so many grams of protein an hour. And when I hate seeing, like, ladies go for like a 25 minute walk on their lunch break at work and then have a protein shake, like a 1200 calorie protein shake. They should have just not walked and not had the protein shake.
Right. It's doing more damage.
Yeah. And I think everyone's just looking for an easy way out. And I don't think anybody wants to lose weight that is having trouble losing weight, with the exception of a very, very few people. Like, to lose weight, I've got the secret. You guys want to hear it?
Yeah, tell us, please.
Burn more calories than you consume. It's not goddamn rocket science.
Oh, I never thought of it that way.
Yeah. But unfortunately, people just try to make things a little more difficult so they don't actually have to do the actual work.
Yeah, I heard a physics professor explain it through carbon, because food is made up of carbon, and when we exhale, we're exhaling carbon dioxide. So the more you breathe out, meaning like cardio or exercise or just doing things, then you're exhaling more carbon. But when you consume more food, you're inputting more carbon. So you just have to get rid of more carbon than you put in, and you will lose weight.
Science.
Science, right?
Science, bitches.
So, okay. So you've never had an Impossible Burger or a Beyond Burger then?
No. I went super, like super clean for just that bet. But since then I've had those burgers.
Oh, okay. So there's been a time where you were vegan and you were still eating good, I guess, good tasting processed food though.
Right? Oh yeah. Like, and I'll still, even this year I've had a few vegan burgers. Like if I go to a restaurant and like, I want to try something, or if I see something on the menu, I'll still eat it. But I just try to stay away from it because it's not the healthiest thing in the world.
Right. And 85%, like you said, is raw.
Yeah.
Okay. And so what kind of difference performance wise would you cite for, like, say, boxers out there who, or any athletes who are thinking about making the switch, mental clarity, strength, endurance, like what kind of differences can they expect if they're going to see a similar difference like you saw?
I would say the biggest thing for me was recovery time. That was the most dramatic change was recovery time. But it's, at first it seems very inconvenient, the whole vegan thing and reading labels, but that only lasts a few months, because eventually you're going to know what's in everything. And that kind of made a big change for me, because, you know, kind of trying to find food and figuring things out, it's a small learning curve. And once you get through with it, everything's so much easier. So stick with it. And for the vegans who, or for the athletes who would like to try it, do not try it for 4 days and say it wasn't for you. Just do it. Do it for a goddamn, do the 28 days, do it strict, don't cheat at all, and be completely objective. Don't do it knowing it's going to fail.
Yeah, looking for a reason for it not to work.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're a world-class boxer, you became vegan. Now you're traveling around the country in a van, and you're also doing stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
How do you go from boxing to stand-up comedy?
Kind of desperate to do anything but have a real job.
So was that it? You just thought, hey, this looks easy, I'm just going to go get up on a stage and crack some jokes?
Actually, I used to go to the free comedy night, and I thought everyone was terrible. And I was like, I could do that. But I didn't realize it was open mic night, and that's where you go to try your jokes out. So that's how I actually got started. But I enjoy it, and I do, because, like, I'm not the normal activist type of vegan dude, I'm not going to work on a farm or do any of that. So the way I give back is when I'm in cities, when I drive through cities, I'll do a comedy show and donate 100% of the proceeds to a local animal charity.
So, oh, nice.
Yeah, and I do make fun of vegans, and I've had vegans walk out of my shows. And,
really?
Yeah, those are the annoying people that we were talking about earlier.
Can you give us like the most insulting vegan related joke? Or we have to come see you.
It'll sound like jokes never work over the, like,
gotcha.
No. Wait for the Netflix special.
Yeah, the premise of the joke was speaking about the different types of vegans. And I compared the Humane Society to Martin Luther King, DXC to NWA, and PETA to Malcolm X. And I feel like the DXC people should have been felt the most like way about it. But the PETA lady like threw her tote bag on her shoulder and stormed out.
What's wrong with Malcolm X?
Yeah, exactly.
I have no goddamn clue.
And NWA is pretty badass.
Yeah. Oh, and the DXE girls, like after the show, I went up because they were there too. I went up just like, hey guys, just joking, you know, whatever. And it was like these 4 15-year-old children. And each of them have been arrested multiple times for like protests and shit. It was the most badass 15-year-olds I've ever met. I'm there making fun of them, and they're actually out there making a difference. But they took it well. They thought it was cool.
So what reason keeps you motivated now? You mentioned the sanctuary, farm sanctuary in Watkins Glen. Is it the animals still that keeps you going? Is it a combination of health, or is it really just the animals?
Actually, I will never say it was just the animals, because there are enough vegans out there doing it for the animals, and we don't need another echoing voice. I would like to say I do it and promote it for the athletic reasons and the health benefits, because people are very selfish, and unless it directly benefits them, they're not going to care. So I can get people to do it for health reasons. I don't care why they're doing it, as long as they're doing it. So if I get more athletes and more influential figures to do it for whatever their reasons need to be, the better it is for the movement. And you're speaking earlier about farm factories becoming illegal one day.
Yeah.
I don't think so. We look at the meat industry as the industry that's trying to kill animals. They're not actually doing it to kill animals. They're just greedy and care about their money.
Right.
And once the veganism kind of picks up even more, and Paul Shapiro perfects lab-grown meat, and they realize that they can sell meat that's grown out of a lab, so they can just take a feather from a chicken and regenerate the cells. Once they're able to do that for cheaper, and they realize they don't need to ship animals and feed the animals and impregnate the animals and give them medicine, and they can have a way cheaper overhead, they're going to stop farm factories, because it's not going to be cost efficient.
Yeah, I talk about my prediction in the episode right before this, in episode 61. I wrote an article about it, and I read it. So it's basically exactly what you just said.
Oh, nice.
Really? Yeah, I'm excited. And I predict that it'll happen within the next 6 decades. At least I'm hoping, because I want to see it happen in my lifetime.
Oh, yeah, definitely before 60 years.
Yeah.
Hell, I give it... You know what's going to happen, I think? I think the meat industry will start selling it before they tell people. Because they're not ethical.
Oh, that's interesting. And they'll just kind of sneak it in, you're saying?
They're going to sneak it in, and eventually they're going to make lab-grown meat mandatory for like welfare recipients. That's what I think.
Yeah, interesting. And I wonder if some like fur coat companies actually use synthetic and maybe blend it in now, because they can extend it at a cheaper cost.
Could you legally do that, though?
Care about legalities?
Yeah.
Even if they got sued, if they got away with it for 10 years and they got sued, they're still coming up off of the profit.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Good point.
And I think eventually after people see that people on welfare are eating this food and it's actually healthier and it's cheaper, it's going to become more mainstream. And for all the dudes who are like, I'm not eating anything grown in the lab, shut up, bitches. Y'all eat hot dogs. And that's gross. So I think, like, eventually to actually eat farm-grown meat is going to just be for the super upper class. I think it's going to eventually just, meat is just going to be eventually, like, actually, like, traditionally grown meat. It's going to be, like, for really rich people.
Who just have the need to kill.
Yeah, just like
I need to kill something.
Safari hunts and stuff for rich people.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the Trump kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, rich psychopaths.
Yeah. Also, okay. Sorry about the whole America thing, man.
You apologizing for the whole country to the Canadians?
Like, you mean like for Trump?
You're
not responsible for Trump.
I feel like Canadians apologize enough, but I need to do some apologizing. I feel like it's Bush all over again.
Oh, no, this is... No, I thought it couldn't get worse than Bush. When with his presidency, I'm like, this is awful. It could never get worse than this. And then after, like, a week of Trump being in power, I missed George Bush.
Yeah.
It's like, now he's lovable. Like, now we want him back.
Yeah. Did you see him sneaking snacks to Michelle Obama? In that meeting, they're adorable.
Who could make George Bush lovable? Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Enough politics. So you're, as we mentioned, you're driving around the country and you're doing motivational speaking at different engagements. I see you've done a lot at schools and things. So what do you, when you're doing your presentations, do you, you know, what's it about? And do you sneak in some veganism stuff, some animal rights stuff? And then also, what makes someone motivational? Like, how do you motivate people?
All right. So what I speak about is focused goal setting and the resilience necessary to achieve said goals, appropriate social media use and long-term effects of digital footprint on future teams, schools, and employers, and bullying, cyber physical, verbal, and conscious roasting. And no, I don't speak about anything vegan, but when I do speak about bullying and I speak about compassion, I kind of slide my vegan propaganda in there with off the wall questions just to make people think. And I'll just say something like, do you know, like, when you have a 10 piece order of chicken wings, that kills 5 chickens? And I just move on. And that, what I found, because I've done it many different ways, that's the most effective way, because I let them do the math. I let them figure it out. And maybe twice a week, I get a Facebook message from a parent telling me that I'm not a doctor and I don't need to be giving their kid diet advice. I never tell them to not eat meat. I never said what to do. I just give them the information. And then apparently they'll go home and say, you know, I don't want to eat meat anymore. And that's when parents slide in my DMs.
Wow, that's pretty effective then, if you're getting two outraged parents a week.
Yeah, and I don't want to say it, but maybe doctors shouldn't be giving nutrition advice either, so...
No, you're right. They don't have the nutrition training, usually.
Okay, we are almost running out of time. I have an idea for you, Cam. You might have thought of this already, but why not? Why not?
Pitch time.
Why not bet some of the famous meat-eating boxers out there that you'll beat them in a boxing match, and if they lose, they have to go vegan for 28 days.
That would mean I have to get in shape again.
Okay. I think that would generate a lot of hype.
So your suggestion is for him to just go beat up other world-class boxers and submit them into going vegan?
We already went through this. It's a sport. They consent.
Yeah. Oh, man.
All right. So I've got one last question for you. In all seriousness, as you see the animal rights movement, you've done a lot of speeches all through, like you said, many different veg fests. What do you think this movement needs more of?
Young, influential, positive, happy, inclusive, warm, welcoming vegans who make the vegan movement actually cool, hip, trendy, and less aggressive, so more people will want to join. That's what I think.
Cool. I like it. Okay, so how do people follow what you're up to? How can they reach out to you, or how do they? I know you got a pretty big Instagram presence, but what's the best ways for people to follow what you're up to?
Mostly Craigslist misconnections. Those are my favorite ways. But Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, LinkedIn, all at CamFAwesome, CamFAwesome.
All right, I'll link that in the show notes.
Oh, and if you want to book me for a school to speak, I speak at middle schools and high schools and colleges, and also speak at corporate about work-life balance and how to be more of an efficient human being. And you can reach out to me at celebritysportspeaker.com.
Great. I'll put that in the show notes as well. Thank you, Cam.
Can you also write us up a little misconnections thing so we can put that in the show notes? Because that would be awesome.
I literally, it's my most viewed website. Every day for like the last 10 years, I've been checking Kansas City Craigslist. Granted, I haven't been to Kansas City in like 7 or 8 months. And I'm not looking for me, but I'm always just fascinated by the amount of creepy people on the internet.
I think 85% of those are just other people making them up as a joke.
Oh,
they can't be real. Most of those.
No, you'd be surprised.
I'm out of the loop here, so you're gonna have to explain to me afterwards what we're talking about.
Okay,
disconnections. Okay, so thank you again, Cam, for being on the show. Thank you for inspiring so many, and thank you for spreading the vegan message wherever you go.
And thanks for being awesome.
Hey, thank you for having me on.
All right, Ben, we just interviewed Cam Awesome. What'd you think?
Well, that was, I don't know, what's the word? What's the word I'm thinking? That's on the tip of my tongue. That was awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah, see? No, not amazing. Yeah, you know what? The one thing he said towards the end that made me think was, you know, let's make veganism cool. Let's make it trendy. Let's just be cool. That's what he said. And again, it's hard to do. I mean, it's hard. We don't want it to be a trend. We don't want it to be about people. We want to, you know, expose all the unnecessary suffering that's going on. But I've always said the biggest obstacle we have is people wanting to fit in. And right now they fit in with the status quo of contributing to the suffering of non-human animals. So, you know, maybe there's something to be said for that. Let's make veganism cool, and then people will want to be a part of it.
Yeah, it's an important way to handle, and I'm not exactly sure how to do it. Like James Aspie talked about this, or how he's always happy, even though inside he's angry because you see all these animals being slaughtered, and it drives you to some kind of rage.
Yeah, totally.
But how you present that rage, how you present that energy, that passion is everything. And it's really hard to, for some people at least, might be really easy for some people too, but I think it's generally hard to turn that rage into something that's uplifting and funny and warm and smiley and welcoming, you know, because you know what's happening, you know what's responsible for it happening, yet you have to entice them to change with a smile. It's a challenge. That's all. It's not impossible.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a challenge. Tough. And it leads to, you know, that's always going to lead, not always, but a lot of time it leads to, you know, you get these silly excuses thrown at you that they really haven't given much thought to. And, you know, it's hard to be funny about it. It's hard to be, you know, light about it when they're talking about whatever the food chain or, you know, why they need to kill because they have tiny little points on their teeth. But yeah, if we can make it light. Now, I don't know. There are people that I know that became vegan because someone yelled at them. So maybe again, it's still that, you know, let's just do everything we can. But I thought it is an interesting point that, you know, that maybe to not try not to look like this outside movement and just, you know, be a part of society, but a happy part of society.
Who was it again? I think it was a brochure for you. Like what eventually, or what was the first thing that got you to go vegan? I can't remember.
I drove past a field of cows.
And then you decided not to eat them, so you went vegetarian? So you did it on your own?
I was vegetarian. I was 15. When I was 32, I drove past the field of cows and thought, where are the males?
Okay. What started you to go vegetarian again at 15?
I have no idea.
You don't know?
I was halfway through a sausage at 15 years old, and I thought, I don't know. This isn't right. I mean, we didn't have the internet then. This was 1995.
Okay, so nobody presented the arguments to you.
I didn't know a vegetarian. I didn't know a vegan. No, like I didn't have that moment. I wasn't. I know a lot of people. It's like, oh, this. I read this person's book, or I saw this person's speech, or this person talked to me. I don't have that person to thank.
Yeah. See, I had a philosophy professor. I've talked about him before, who was citing the works of James Rachels, who is a very distinguished philosopher. He passed away a while ago, but in his book, he was talking about all the arguments for vegetarianism. And the way that this professor said it, it was like slightly funny, but it was more sarcastic and just so logical, so pointed, you know, just like straight to the point. And there was no warm smile. There was no enticing anything. It was just like, no, that's wrong because of this. You know what I mean? And then I did think about it for a couple of years. I didn't just go vegan or vegetarian overnight. But then I watched a movie, Meet Your Meat. So that was the combination for me. I don't know. I guess everyone is different, though. You need different strategies.
Yeah. So for some people, if it looks cool, then maybe they'll be more interested. As long as they do it for long enough that they stick with it.
Yeah, that's another problem. A lot of people drop out once they try.
Well, because they're doing it for selfish reasons. When you're doing it because you don't want someone to die or be harmed, it becomes a lot easier to stick with it.
All right. And speaking of health, I know that was a big concern for why Cam stuck with it and what he represents now. The news of the day is all about health.
Yeah. Biggest news in Canada since 1867.
What happened in 1867?
Oh, Kevin, you're never going to get your citizenship.
Is that when the country was formed?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
That's going to be on the test. I guarantee it.
All right. I haven't started studying yet. That's good to know. I'll remember that now. Thank you. Okay. So since the formation of the country, the biggest news in all of Canada's history just came out this week. And it's the new food guide. Which says it's not 100% plant-based, but it's pretty damn close. Pretty damn close, right? What do you think?
Yeah, well, they eliminated dairy. Dairy is not in our food guide, which is fantastic. And they eliminated the meat category, and it's now just proteins. So there's a little picture that they even put out. And yeah, I think there's a piece of salmon and maybe a piece of cow flesh, but...
There's an
most
egg.
An egg. Most of that plate is like beans and lentils and nuts and stuff. And even, I think there's even like some, you know, some vegetables that people would be like, oh, there's protein in that, because there's protein in everything. But it's, and they even mentioned that people need to focus more on eating plants. Like that's in our food guide. And I know some people are like, oh, but there's still meat in there. And I get it. Yeah, it'd be fantastic if they said everyone should eat a plant-based diet. But what this gives us is just it's one more tool that we can say, look, even the government of Canada is telling you that consuming animal products is unnecessary. And if it's unnecessary, why are you causing this harm to others?
Yeah, exactly. They talk about it as protein, not just as meat or plant protein, just protein doesn't.
Yeah. And there's no like doesn't meat matter alternatives. Where it comes from. It's just protein.
Yeah. And interestingly, that's how the companies Tyson Foods and Cargill Foods see themselves. You know, traditionally they've been slaughtering animals for, you know, decades and decades, and they sell dead body parts to people and say this is protein, but they really look at themselves as a protein company or a food company. And if they can give plant-based meat, you know, in the form, in the same way, then of course they'll make the switch, especially if there's more of a margin to be made. So it's funny because I was just talking about this. Tyson and Cargill Foods have both invested in plant-based companies and clean meat companies. So as Canada says to us, you know, you can get your protein from plant sources is actually preferable, but protein is protein. Doesn't matter where you get it from. These big companies are doing the same thing. Traditional meat companies are saying and doing the same thing. So this is a massive shift from an old way of thinking, you know, institutionalized way of thinking. It's all starting to crack and move toward plant protein or alternative protein.
And they put this out saying, we simply base this on science. These are the scientific facts. They said they took zero input from industries. There was no corporate involvement, and the dairy farmers and the animal agriculture industry they're upset. Like they've put out press releases saying how angry they are that they weren't given any input, and like they shouldn't be given any input. Like industry shouldn't be deciding what our country tells us is healthy to eat. And this is fantastic that our government has actually said we're not even listening to the animal agriculture lobby. We're just going to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I feel like this is the first time in all of history that the government didn't listen to corporations.
And then came out and said it. So now I'm wondering, all right, that's fantastic. Our food guide says this. You're still giving, you know, roughly $7 billion a year to animal agriculture.
Right, in the form of subsidy.
So now we've got more ammunition to, you know, for that fight to stop the subsidies.
Yeah, nation rising.
Maybe a meat tax. Who knows? But it's it's fantastic news.
It's definitely a huge, huge step, huge win. So we're excited about that. All right, cool. So let's move on to the excuse.
Okay, Kevin. Here's my excuse. I went vegan for a month, and my hair started falling out.
Whoa!
Have you not heard this one?
I haven't heard that one. No, I've heard people say that, you know, ill effects, physical problems, and that's why. But again, what did Cam just say? You know, you tried it for 4 days and you're going into it knowing that you're going to fail. So you're doing it just to prove the point that it doesn't work. It didn't work for me. I always try to argue these excuses by saying that's not true. That's probably not true. And even if it was true, you should still be vegan. In this particular scenario, I would say, is that really true? Okay, that's true, you know what happened and why. But if you were eating, I can't imagine it being true. You know, like if. Maybe he was eating or she was eating potato chips and ketchup. You know, like, sure, if you do it the wrong way, then absolutely you might see some physical problems. But if you eat a whole foods, plant-based diet, a variety of foods, why would
not
that
even
happen?
Whole foods, even if it's not whole foods, it's just you're also, you know, eating the things you need to, the fruits and vegetables that you need to.
I don't know. I'm having trouble wrapping my head around this one. I don't even know what causes hair loss. Like, what vitamin deficiency would cause hair loss? I'd have to look that up. And then I'd say, whatever that vitamin deficiency is, you can get more of it by eating these vegan foods.
Well, yeah, because there's nothing in the flesh that they need to eat that's not in plants.
Yeah, I mean, it all comes back to that in the end. There's nothing in meat that you can't get in a plant-based diet. There's nothing. No,
exactly.
So what is it?
There's no evidence of this either. Like, if you look for it, you're not going to find any study that data will indicate that if you don't consume flesh that your hair is going to start falling out. Like, it's like what you said, people are just looking for a reason. And a lot of the time, our hair is always falling out, right? Like,
Yeah, it could be a correlation.
So, with something else. So there might fall out, one, 6 months ago, and then you go vegan and it's still falling out now. But now when it falls out, you look at it and go, oh, my hair's falling out. It must be because I'm eating vegan. And it's probably the same amount of hair that was falling out before.
I had a picture of a totally bald person saying that to me when you said it at first. They're like, well,
I've heard this, and I know people personally, like, I don't know, I'm not going to try and out people, but people that I know, fairly close to me that claim that when they went vegan, their hair started falling out.
Look, I don't know. I guess everyone's different. They might have different nutrient needs, but it's not the vegan diet's fault. You just have to rearrange the food that you're eating in order to get the proper nutrients that your body needs. If your body needs more iron, for example, then there you can eat the plant-based foods that have more iron. It's pretty simple. Yeah. I don't know. I've never heard this before. Sometimes it's hard to argue the ones that are just out of left field. I never know what Ben's going to throw at me, by the way, for those who don't know. And I had never heard this particular excuse before. So
yeah. There's I keep hearing new ones all the time. And I'm like,
it's good. Wow. You must have like a giant list of excuses.
I do. I do. But it's the list is getting shorter. So if anybody's got some good ones, send them to me.
Awesome. All right. Well, that was fun. That was a great episode. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for joining us.
Would you say it was awesome?
All right, guys. Thank you for listening. As Ben, as always,
live awesome.
Thank you for listening to the Live Vegan Podcast.